last message in the series, Control. We've been talking about what is God in control of, what am I in control of, and how do those things kind of mesh together in life, and how does that work out? And if you missed a couple of messages, you're welcome to go back and watch them online through YouTube or Facebook and whatnot. But I was talking with Ron Guess a couple weeks ago, and he told me this story about some Roman soldiers, and it kind of blew my mind. So I had to go look up this story about Roman soldiers, and you can go look it up as well online. And so there was these 40 Christian Roman soldiers. They were actually part of some elite team in the army, and their commanding officers got wind that there was Christians inside this group. And that wasn't going to do because the Romans were pagans, and so they worshipped other gods. And so they went to the 40 Christian soldiers, and they said, this is a problem for us. All we need you to do is denounce your faith, make the sacrifices to the pagan gods, and we're good. We're kosher. And the Roman soldiers answered back, we can't do that. And this floored the Roman commanders. Why is this a problem? Why would you not just simply make the sacrifices, move on? I mean, we're here to fight. Don't get distracted from anything else. We're here to fight. And so the commanding officer really didn't know what to do with them. They said, we've got to punish them. We've got to make an example of them. So they're out trying to figure out what to do with them, and they are on a beach, and they look out, and there's ice all along. And so the commanding officer says, this is what I'm going to do. If you won't denounce your faith, I'm going to march you out onto the ice. So all you have to do right here, just denounce Jesus. Give it up. You can stay on the land. If not, we're going to strip you down and march you out onto the ice. And so that's what happens. The 40 Roman Christian soldiers strip down and march out onto the ice. The commanding officer is just confused as to why the soldiers are showing this kind of dedication to this. And as the hours pass, he realizes the soldiers have a resolve that he was not expecting. And so he tells the soldiers on the beach, I want you to light fires. I want you to get warm bathtubs of water going. And so they do it. They get raging fires on the beach going. They warm up bathtubs of water. And he calls out to the soldiers, who, by the way, have been singing out on the ice. And he says, if you just will come in, you can be next to the fire. If you will just come in and denounce your faith, you can get in the warm bathtubs. You can come in and be comfortable. And we can move on with life. And they just keep singing out on the ice. And as the hours and hours pass, eventually one soldier finally crawls in and heads toward the beach. One out of 40. And so the Roman soldiers out on the ice keep singing as the night goes on. And then eventually one soldier who was on the beach watching all this happen, he strips down and heads out to the ice. And that story struck me because all the soldiers eventually pass away. And I started thinking about the one soldier on the beach. The one soldier on the beach who's next to the fires. He's next to the warm bathtubs. His life isn't at stake at all. But he was so compelled by what he was witnessing that he had to change something in his life. And he marched out there. And I thought about our lives as Christians. Is there anything that compelling about the way that you and I live our life? Is there anything in our life that's so compelling to make someone who's living in this world go, I'll give up what the world has to offer because what you have is that compelling? You see, as you and I live our life for Jesus, if we can't get to the point that we think that everything this world has to offer is a bad deal compared to knowing Jesus, we communicate the wrong message to the world. You see, the world should be able to look at us and see our passion for the ways of God and who He is as unmatched, unrivaled. You see, Christianity in its purest form was exemplified out on the ice. That's why it was attractive to that Roman soldier on the beach. Christianity in its purest form is this: your whole life for Jesus. Your whole life for Jesus. But see, we're getting to this weird point in our Christian faith in America where it's become things like Jesus plus your relationship desires. Or it's come to Jesus plus your financial goals. Or Jesus plus your political beliefs. But Christianity in its purest form, Jesus plus nothing, is what's truly compelling to people who don't know Jesus. You see, I think it's come to the point where our passion for Jesus should be unmatched. It should be unrivaled. It should be unquestioned. People who look at our social media, people who interact with us at the stores, people who come over for dinner should not question that for us, Jesus is everything. We should leave no doubt that Jesus is of the greatest value. People who are experiencing everything the world has to offer should be able to look at how we live our life and be compelled to leave behind everything they've been following. Here's the thing is, if you and I invited a family member or a coworker or a neighbor over to our house and we said to them, I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus. And I would like to invite you to also follow Jesus. And if their answer back to us could be, why would I go follow something you're so apathetic towards? Should make us change the way we live our life. If our friend, our coworker, our neighbor, or whoever could sit across the table, if you and I blatantly invited them to come follow Jesus with us, and they would be so unmoved by our apathetic nature toward the ways of God, something's got to change. You see, our passion for Jesus, our passion to love our neighbor, our passion for sharing the gospel, our passion for making disciples should be unrivaled in North Georgia. That's who we should be. And I think you've seen absolutely glimpses of that. You've seen movements of that. You see sparks of that through Vertical Church over the years. It's not that we haven't been doing it, but it's time to do it more. You see, you may go, what does that mean? How do I get involved? How do I join? You say Vertical Church is kind of doing that. I don't even really know the mission of Vertical Church. You may have been here for 4 years and you would say, I don't really know our mission. You may have shown up here on Sunday and you go, I don't really know our mission. You may have been watching online for a couple months and you go, I don't really know the mission of Vertical Church. And the mission of Vertical Church is this, is that we exist for people, for Jesus, and to make disciples. That's our mission. We exist for people, for Jesus, and to make disciples. That's not overly complicated, but the way that we will accomplish it will get intricate over time, for sure. But you may go, okay, well, what does that even mean? What does it look like to be for people? Because if I'm honest, Philip, it sounds a little Christian New Age if we're for people. That sounds a little heretical if I'm honest with you. What does it mean to be for people? And it's this idea. We believe that if you gather a group of people together who are passionate about the ways of God, it creates space for other people to meet the Lord. You may have seen, if you were here earlier, that we've had to meet at 8 different locations in person in just 4 years. Just 4 years. We've had to go all these different places, but it hasn't stopped the Lord from moving. It hasn't stopped people from getting saved. It hasn't stopped people from getting baptized. It hasn't stopped people from repenting. It's because we have this belief that Vertical Church is not a building or just somewhere we exist. It's a group of people who want to get together and passionately go after the ways of God. And so we're for people. We want to invite people in. We don't care if you don't give one lick about the Lord. We don't care if you're struggling with sin. We don't care if you're the greatest Christian ever. We want you to come meet with us at Vertical Church. Why? Because we believe God wants to speak into every person's life and draw them closer to Him. And so we're for people, and we want to be compelling to people. You see, we learn from those Roman soldiers that the way they lived their life was compelling to everyone that was watching on the beach. Every person who was on that beach had to make a decision by the way those Roman soldiers were on the ice. Do I want to stay here in the comforts of the world, or do I want something different? See, we're four people. You may have heard us talk about Matthew 22. Matthew 22 says this, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." If you want to understand why we're four people, it's because Jesus said, go love your neighbor as yourself. It's not a gray area. It's not a question of theology. Jesus said, go love your neighbor as yourself. And therefore, we will be four people. But you see, if you're kind of cynical, you go, well, if you're going to be for people, you're going to water down the gospel. You're not going to teach the Bible. If you've been with us very long, you already know that's not going to be true. But that's why our second point is we're for Jesus. We're for Jesus because Jesus changed my life. He's changed many of your lives. And we believe he still changes lives. You see, we believe if we're for Jesus, that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. You see, we may be for people, we may want to be compelling to a world, but we will never compromise the biblical truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and that no one gets to the Father except through him. That's why we want to be so compelling, is to invite people to come follow Jesus. It's not to follow us. I don't give a rip if you come follow Philip Kite. I don't give a rip if you come follow our worship team or our staff. I care deeply if we're compelling or not, if you will come follow Jesus. That's why we exist. For such a time as this, that people in North Georgia or wherever we're at will have to make a decision as they watch us be compelling for Christ. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to watch what God's doing through Vertical Church and the other churches across this mountain? Are you going to change your ways, or will you stay on the beach? Will you stay next to the fire? Will you stay next to the warm bathtubs because that's where it's comfortable? Or will there be something so compelling about the way we live our life that maybe, just maybe, you'll leave the things of the world behind for a relationship with Jesus? That's why we exist. To make people in this world question if everything the world has offered them is still not enough. Because it's not. Many of us know, I know, I searched the things of this world and the void that was created in me just grew. Every time I tried to take more and more from this world, it just took more and more from me. But then Jesus steps in. And he fills a void that I couldn't fill with anything I was looking for. You see, we're for Jesus. And we're also for making disciples. Matthew 28 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have taught. Everything I've commanded, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You see, we're passionate about the great commandments, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We're passionate about the great commandment to go love our neighbor, but we're also passionate about the great commission to go forth and share the gospel locally and globally. And it's not just to share the gospel, it's to teach people the commands of Jesus. You see, Jesus was very interesting. If you go study his leadership style, he never forced anyone to follow him. You think about it, 2,000 years later, we're still following Jesus, and not one of his disciples was forced to follow him. He invited them. But the interesting thing about Jesus' leadership is while it was an invitation, he had a clear standard for anyone who decided to follow him. And so that's where it gets mixed up, is Jesus, oh, it's just an invitation. And then since it's just an invitation, since you can kind of choose if you want to follow him, you can also choose in how you follow him. Ah, but that's not how Jesus did it. Jesus said, you can choose whether or not you want to follow me, but if you follow me, you don't get to choose how it looks. Here are my commands. And see, for far too long, it's now been an invitation to follow Jesus, and it's been an invitation to follow whatever you like that he said. That's not what he taught. And that's why we want to go forth and teach the word of God. We want to teach the Bible so clearly. We want to teach the commands and ways of God and invite people to follow Jesus. And that's why we're sending forth missionaries. That's why Kelsey Miller and a group of women in our church are going to go to Africa. Why? Go make disciples in all the nations. Go teach them the commands of Jesus. Help raise up people in the faith in Africa. But it's also what we're going to do here. That's why I'm so excited to share this news with you. We've been working behind the scenes. Our team, Austin, Chris, so many people have been working very hard for this news. When we had to move out to Morganton, Georgia, we understood that there was a group of people in Murphy and Hiwassee and Young Harris where this is a long drive. I mean, I'm not aloof to that. It's a long drive to get out here, is it not? And we understood that for some people it may not be feasible. We don't want you to lack communion. So we've been working behind the scenes, and we're excited to announce that we've partnered with the Hiawassee Movie Theater. And coming shortly, we will be able to live stream our whole service in a movie theater on Sunday mornings. Yeah. I'm excited that 95% of you are clapping, but I'm not aloof that there may be the 5% cynical person. They moved on from the first part, and this is the question if you're cynical. Why in the world would we go start a watch party in Hiawassee when we don't have our building yet in Blairsville? If we're honest, somebody's asking that question. I get it. You go, we haven't built our building yet in Blairsville, and you want us to go start a watch party in Hiawassee. What are you thinking? And I'll tell you what I'm thinking. Is we will not wait on the mission that Jesus has called us to on a building. We won't. You've seen it. Over the past 4 years, if you've been with us even longer than I've been here, we've had to go to 8 different locations. Had to go to 8 different locations just to gather as a community and worship the Lord. And too many of our people in Murphy and Hiawassee, it's too far a commute, but I refuse to let you not have community. And not only that, statistically, over 50% of Union County is unchurched. Over 50% in Union County, the place where everyone makes fun of us that we already have too many churches, 50% or more of the county is unchurched. Do you think that's not probably true in Towns County? Do you think that's not probably true in Fannin County? We're not going to back down from the mission to be for people, for Jesus, and making disciples. We're not going to wait on a building. And if I'm honest with you, I don't even like calling a building because it almost trains our mind to think, if we can just get a building, we can be comfortable. And I'm going to tell you the complete opposite is going to be true. Because we're not going to build a building, we're going to build a headquarters. And we're going to build a headquarters to go forth and to be for people and to be for Jesus and to make disciples locally and globally. We're going to build a headquarters to send people out, not for you to come in and sit on your butt. And so let me tell you, a headquarters is coming in Blairsville. Blairsville, we're coming back. That's where our heart was, is, and will be. Blairsville, we're coming. But until that headquarters is built, North Georgia, we're coming. Southeast, we're coming. And you may go, Phil, what are you talking about? Why do you want to go so much? Are we not good enough? You absolutely are, and I love you. And I believe in what God can and will accomplish through you. See, here's the thing is Kale and I, we were taught by our mentors that we're supposed to be like a sponge. We're supposed to be like a sponge. We're supposed to come to church. We're supposed to be with other believers, and we're supposed to receive. You're supposed to receive from God. You're supposed to soak it all in, but then you're supposed to wring it out. What do you think is going to happen when Kelsey and our team goes to Africa? They're going to have absorbed the teachings of the Word of God over the years, and they're going to go be vertical, and they're going to wring out the living water in Africa. When the other missions trips we're working on, we're going to take and be a sponge, and we're going to be wrung out with living water across there. When we go to Hiawassee, we're going to be a sponge, and you're going to wring us out of living water. Wherever we go, vertical church should be a sponge where the Lord can wring us out. And living water begins to flow. Community should change because when we show up, it's compelling. And we will be because we have been. If you don't believe me, look what Jesus said. Because again, why take my word for it? But I think you should pay attention to Jesus. Look at Luke 14. Luke 14, if the worship team wants to come back on up, you can. I hope you do. Luke 14, verse 16 says this. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who'd been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. They all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. And still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. How many Christians in America are still telling God while they sit in a seat, please excuse me? While you've been invited to participate in the greatest game-changing moment of anyone's life, and that's a relationship with Jesus, how many people in America and beyond have been not compelled by the ways of God because we're still telling the Lord, please excuse me, while we've been invited to participate? The servant came back and reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly. Somebody underline quickly. Highlight the word quickly. Into the streets and alleys of the town. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Bring in the people that nobody else wants, but I'll take them, says the Lord. Then the master, sir, he said in verse 22, sir, the servant said, what you've ordered has been done. Somebody underline or highlight, but there's still room. Somebody highlight or underline, there's still room. Verse 23, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads, go out to the country lanes, and compel them to come so that my house may be full. If you want a chapter in the Bible that will exude our heart at Vertical Church, it's Luke 14. If you want a verse to sum up why we're so passionate about the things of God, Luke 14, 23, go out to the country lanes, go out to the roads, and compel them to come in because there's still room in the house of the Lord. So why are we going to Hiwassee? Because there's still room. Why are we going to Africa? Because there's still room. Jesus said himself, the harvest, the fields are ripe for harvest, but the workers are few. May the Lord never say of Vertical Church that the workers were few there. Life is short. Life is short. So let's leave a big kingdom impact for Jesus. At the end of our days, when our life that is short has ended, if the Lord tarries, may it be said of us, we left a legacy. That there was nothing greater than Jesus. That, Lord, we gave it out. I pray that at the end of my days, the Lord could look and my life was just like a vase and the water poured out. And when my life ends, it's because there's nothing left he can spend from me. I gave what I had. He took what I had and used it. So church, we're going to go to the country lanes. We're going to go to the roads. And we're going to compel people to come in because there's still room in the house of the Lord. Many of you have been helping accomplish the mission. And some of you, whether you're online or in the building, it's time to stop saying, please excuse me. Because we believe God can use you in a mighty way. Some of you who have said, please excuse me, are our next community group leader. Some of you who said, please excuse me, are going to go on missions trips. Some of you who said, please excuse me, are going to go help be part of the launch party in Hiwassee. Why? Because the Lord can take any life if you're willing to give it to him and be used for the kingdom of God. And Holy Spirit speaking to some lives right now online in the building, and maybe that's you. Maybe as soon as we talked about Hiwassee, Holy Spirit's been speaking to you. Go be a part of that. Go to the country lanes. Go to the roads. We need people to go over there and help launch that. Go have people who are willing to greet, somebody who's willing to work on tech, someone who's willing to set up there a little bit, somebody who's willing to say, when they walk into a movie theater and say, I believe someone's going to get saved here. I believe someone's going to get baptized here. I believe someone's going to walk in living a life of sin and repent and give their life to Jesus. If you're willing to go, go. We send you. Vertical Church does not exist to try to fill as many seats as we can. Vertical Church exists to send as many as we can. Because Jesus said, the fields are ripe for harvest, but the workers are few. Then send Vertical Church, Lord. Send us forth. So as we celebrate our fourth birthday, I compel you, join the mission. Join what God is doing here. And so many of you already have. Continue. But this is who we have been. This is who we are. And this is who we will be. A church in North Georgia that says, we'll go to the country lanes, we'll go to the rural roads, and we will compel people for Jesus Christ. Because we want to leave no doubt that He is of the greatest value. And so, Lord, we give you this time. I believe every person that's watching this online, I believe every person that is in the building is fully capable of being used by you, God, for great things for your kingdom. Some of us are just one, please excuse me, away of seeing a great move of God in our life. So right now, Holy Spirit, let walls fall. Let courage and strength be granted to hearts and minds. We thank you for your faithfulness that we are able to celebrate 4 years together as a church. But Lord, won't you send us forth to be even more compelling for your ways, Jesus? Won't you be using us to go forth and tell people that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through you? Holy Spirit, speak to hearts and minds right now and allow people to step forward and join the mission. We exist for you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.